Good morning, church. If you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 10. If you're just joining us, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. And this morning we find ourselves in verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter number 10, verses 46 to 52. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" That sounds familiar? That is what was asked of James and John. And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. May the good Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I don't know if you read the Bible and sometimes you try to picture the scene, try to dramatize what was going on. But I can't help it but think of this day. The road to Jerusalem was crowded. Pilgrims pressing forward as they're going to the Passover. Dust rising. Voices buzzing with excitement. And in the noise, as people are now, we are in Jericho. Jesus is passing in Jericho. People can't wait. They're pushing. They are striving to get to Jerusalem. But above that noise came a cry, a desperate, unpolished cry. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It was a cry of a man who could see nothing, yet, ready for this, saw more than most. A blind beggar on the roadside, but not blind on who Jesus is. This blind man had more foresight on who Jesus is, as we're about to find out. Sadly, many today remain blind as to who Jesus really is. While others saw a passing teacher, this man saw the promised king. While the crowd tried to silence him, his faith shouted louder. Friends, this is not a story about sight primarily. It is about that, but it's more than that. This is a story about spiritual desperation. This is a story about persistent faith and the mercy of Christ that stops for sinners who call out to him. Again, this is not just about physical blindness, but also about spiritual blindness. The condition of every human being apart from Christ. This is actually the final healing miracle recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And it beautifully pictures the salvation that Jesus gives to all who call upon him. So as we look at this story, there are three movements that describe the journey from blindness to sight, from misery to mercy. So I hope as you are going through these three movements, I want you to be asking yourself where you find yourself this morning. Because you might be sitting here, you may be able to see physically, but can you really see? Let's look first, the need for God's mercy. Verse number 46. The need for God's mercy. What do we see in verse 46? And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. Now, we are told of one individual here, and this is the only time we see in the Bible somebody who's about to be healed, but we're also told his name. But also, what is interesting, when Matthew gives a parallel story, he said there are two blind beggars. But here we're only told of one. So sometimes people want to put holes to the Bible, trying to question its credibility, who bring this story and say, how come here is only one and in Matthew the two? We can't trust the Bible. But also, if you pay attention, in the book of Mark, it says, and they came to Jericho. But if you are to look at the same parallel text in Luke, we are told they are coming from Jericho. How do then you resolve this? I always say, I don't try to reconcile friends that are not fighting. I think there's ways we can be able to resolve this easily. For one, I think Mark is mentioning only Bartimaeus. Perhaps maybe he was one who was most vocal. And as about Jericho, there are stories that there were actually two Jerichos. Maybe this might be able to try to help to resolve why Luke is saying these guys are coming from Jericho, and then Mark, our text, says they were actually just arriving in Jericho. But anyway, our point here is, I want us to see the need for God's mercy. Do you see the need here? Again, Jericho was a busy city. That is where there's a lot of businesses actually are taking place. And I'm sure when some people were going to Jerusalem, maybe some will even stop here and buy some animals to go to Jerusalem. Obviously, if you go, just like when you go to Salima, you know, if you go to Waterfront and buy coffee, the coffee at Waterfront will be more than Salima Boma, right? So perhaps as they were heading to Jerusalem, men will stop in Jericho. It was a very busy city. And here is this blind man, Bartimaeus. In that culture, I don't know if it's more so today, maybe my argument would be if it's more so today, but in that culture, blindness, and I want you to see the need for mercy here, blindness was one of those most devastating conditions. Why? Because blindness meant dependency, blindness meant poverty, and often it meant shame. Now, I've not heard from any of you telling me about your friend, your bestie, who is blind. Hey, you must meet this friend of mine, he's blind. That tells you the plight of the blind. So being totally blind is hard in any era. You thought you had problems. Have you ever thought of, put your problem aside. What if you're born blind? Would you choose your problems now or say, I'd rather be blind? I think being blind in the first century was truly a desperate situation. Why do I say that? Much of the Old Testament law made provisions for the blind. God had actually commanded that people should not take advantage of the blind. Leviticus 19 verse 14, here's what it says. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor should you place a stumbling block before the blind. Why? You shall fear your God. Deuteronomy 27, 18. One of the cases was this in Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road. And all the people together were to say, Amen. So what's the point here? God took very seriously the limitations of those who were blind. And he made those provisions that we are not to take advantage of people that are blind. So most of the blind in the first century were pretty much reduced to begging, a life of begging. But there was even more than just that, because there was even a darker side. Thanks to the rabbis, they misinterpreted some texts and they had begun to conclude that blindness was a judgment of God. And this did not even spare Jesus' own disciples. If you remember the story in John chapter number 9, his own disciples were asking Jesus Christ, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? They're thinking, their psyche is that because he was born blind, this is God's judgment on this man. Obviously to them, somebody had sinned. But Jesus corrected that wrong thinking. But Jesus didn't just correct their thinking, he had a great compassion for the blind. Because in Luke 7 verse 21, this is what we're told. He cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. So, here is Bartimaeus. The Bible does not tell us whether he was a native of Jericho. I don't know if Jericho was his home or he left wherever he was and came to Jericho, which I think it is probable that he had left wherever he was coming from. He came to Jericho because if you had to Google some of the things that are happening in Jericho, not only was this a very busy street with a lot of business going on, but also it was known for their balsam trees. Balsam trees were used for anointing oil, but also were used for medicinal purposes. And someone says that people that have got a problem, like I have a problem that is called cataractic. It's pretty much a problem to do with sight. You can't see. So my problem, you times that of Bartimaeus, because Bartimaeus was completely blind. So anyway, these balsam trees were known for curing illnesses, even like blindness. So he has shown up here in Jericho, but as you can see, he's still blind. That tells me that the balsam trees did not help Bartimaeus. So he remains desperate. Maybe he has decided then just to remain. I think it's easy to picture this. Sitting on the roadside. And I want to believe even the very blind that we see in our streets. I'm sure there are many that have gone to different singers. They've gone to different prophets. They've gone to many remedies, but they're still blind. And we met them on the streets. The Tanzanian Bwana calling out for help, depending on the mercy of passerbys. And they ignored many times. See, Bartimaeus, he represents, spiritually speaking, the state of every sinner, blind, helpless, and unable to serve himself. So John is thinking about the plight of people that are blind. Have you ever seen people that are blind laughing out loud? Have you seen that? Do you see them doing that? Why not? You know how we do sometimes? I know we all have issues, our difficulties, but those people that are blind, have you noticed many times they're in misery? Not for a week. Now think about that be your life. And you want to tell me you've got problems. I hope you're beginning to see the need for mercy. But you see, before you can see, you must realize you are blind. As one famous blind author was asked, what is worse than being blind? And she said, is to be able to see but have no vision. See, perhaps you are here this morning. Though your eyes see well, your heart is blind to God's truth. You can talk about God. You can attend church. You can sing Amazing Grace, yet not truly see the beauty of Christ. You know what you need? You need mercy. Mercy that opens the eyes of your heart. So I ask you this morning, have the eyes of your heart been opened? Where you realize that your greatest need is not material, but it's spiritual. The need for God's grace. God's mercy, rather. Let's move on. Let's look at now the cry for God's mercy. The cry for God's mercy. Verses 47 and 48. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Again, picture this. We'll just call him Barty. Barty is on his usual spot. There's one thing he knows he cannot do. He can't get himself to Jesus. And perhaps maybe since he's blind, I'm sure some people are trying to say, Inu, Ugu. Right? But he can't help and then he's asking, what's going on? Of course he can't see. But he can perceive that there's something strange, there's something extraordinary coming that has come in Jericho. So he's asking, he's inquiring, what's going on? And when he hears, it is Jesus of Nazareth who is in town. Remember, this guy is blind. Perhaps maybe stories had gone before Jesus Christ that he has healed some people. Now this blind man has heard this. No wonder now I want us to see the cry for mercy. And the best way of me explaining this, like a strange way, but I hope you'll be able to understand what I'm trying to communicate here. I think if Bartimaeus, if he was African, he was not Malawian, neither was he South African. Let me try to explain. I've lived most of my life with these two nationalities, Malawians and South Africans. You know, if Bartimaeus maybe was Malawian, he has heard Jesus of Nazareth and people are pushing him. Hey, ook. Because they were shouting at him. He probably does, I must.
alirijoki.
If a South African, he'll probably say, ngeke kulunge. Ngeke kulunge. Says, take. I don't think this girl is Malawian or South African. I'll tell you who this guy could probably be. Either Kenyan or Nigerian. Because you tell a Kenyan, it's not going to work. He said, no, it's going to work. It's going to work. Right? They'll tell him, keep quiet. Shut up. If it's Nigerian, shut up yourself. And what is he doing? He's crying out. Crying for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. He knows this is his only opportunity. He's not just going to win. He's crying out to the one he knows can help him. Again, you see, he knows that he has no way to go through the crowd to Jesus. But he's determined to be heard over the crowd. And he yells. And what he cries out is truly remarkable. He has been told, Jesus the Nazarene is in town. But guess what does he say himself? Son of David, we looked at the Son of Man, and I mentioned this many times, emphasizes his humanity, although we saw it's more than that, but he's now bringing that political name, Son of David, because the new Son of David, this is a majestic title. If you call yourself Son of David, what comes to mind is 2 Samuel 7. God had promised David that one of his sons, one of his descendants, would sit on his throne forever. Bartimaeus, who's blind, is able to recognize Jesus. Although he cannot see him physically, he recognizes this is the man who is able to heal me if he's willing, not if he can. Remember, we looked sometimes, bro, somebody, a leper, came to Jesus, heal me if you can. And the response, if I can? What are you talking about? David, in that prophecy, calls the Messiah, Lord. Look at Mark chapter 12. Just 2 pages in front of us. Look at Mark 12. Verse 35. And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, how can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son? And the great throng heard him gladly. What's happened here? Jesus Christ himself is, of course, highlighting the true nature of himself, that he is divine. He's not simply a descendant of David. He transcends David. Guess who sees that? Bartimaeus. With the eyes of his heart. No wonder he's now crying, have mercy on me. People are trying to keep him quiet. Say, be silent. Keeps crying. Why? Perhaps maybe even knew more. Isaiah 61 predicted that when the Messiah will come, you know what he'll do? He'll open the eyes of the blind, both spiritually and physically. And this was his hope. And then saying, Messiah Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And again, Jesus does not correct his view, does he? He doesn't, no. Don't call me Son of David, does he? He lets the title be. the messianic title, Son of David. He lets it stand. Don't miss the point. He can't get to Jesus, but he knows Jesus is all he needs. No wonder now he's crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's interesting here. Can you imagine if it was you and I, if there was now Jesus or somebody who can meet all your needs, what would be your first cry? Perhaps you'd be telling whoever this person is your miseries, as if you want them to have pity on you, maybe to feel sorry for you, or perhaps you will be able to tell them how much of your rights have been violated. That's what it does. It's pleading for mercy. It's pleading for mercy, that which he does not deserve. Look at verse 48. I love this. They are telling him to be silent, but he kept on crying all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He will not be silenced. Here is a man with a desperate need, a desperate cry for Jesus' mercy, because he knows he can't get this anywhere else. Jesus, the Son of David, the one who was promised, he is the one who can meet his need. We know even our own cultures as Africans, as Malawians, we know what it means to cry for mercy. When people face a desperate need, maybe a child's sickness, relational conflicts, we usually cry out to someone we think can help. Right? You know, there are people who look up to their job, their career, their business, their spouse, their family, their title, on and on. But for Bartimaeus, is reminding us that the one that we can cry to, the only one who can really give us what we truly need, is Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes our prayers are very polished and formal. Bartimaeus here again is teaching us true prayer is not about grammar, but about desperation. Son of David, have mercy on me. That's his prayer. Enough to move the heart of God. Because Jesus Christ himself has promised, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The crowd rebukes him. Just as the world today tells believers to be quiet about their faith. But true faith refuses to be silenced. The more they rebuke him, the louder he cries. Friends, I want to ask you this. When life gets hard, do you stop praying? Do you let the crowd silence your faith? To remind you this morning, keep calling on Jesus. He still hears the cries of the desperate. We have seen the need for God's mercy. We have seen the cry for God's mercy. Lastly, let's look at the results of God's mercy. Verses 49 to 52. Of what is happening now, people are stopping Bartimaeus. What is remarkable here, we're told, Jesus then stops. What a beautiful picture here. The Son of God, surrounded by a noisy crowd, stops for one blind beggar that people wouldn't even pay notice to. Even if they do, they'll easily dismiss him. This is mercy in motion. Christ always hears the cry of faith. Remember now, Jesus is determined to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be mocked, spattered, and ultimately he's going to be killed. You would expect he's just consumed, absorbed with his own afflictions. But guess what he's doing? He's still stopping. You know why? Because he knows this is one of those that he's going to be dying for in Jerusalem. And when mercy comes, everything changes. Even the voices around you, because the very same people were saying, keep quiet, shut up yourself, are calling, hey, he's calling you. He's calling you. You see that? And I like what he does. You see what he's doing? As they're calling him, the Bible tells us he's to wear a cloak. That means just tovala. Remember, he's blind, he's desperate. That tovala must have meant many things. That could have been also his safe. Safe for Isungira and Dalama. When they're giving those small, I'm sure he's putting it on that cloak. But at the same time, this could have been also his clothing. Clothes and blanket all in one. But we're told when Jesus calls him, he throws it. Do you think that it's communicating something to us? I want to believe that. Because that cloak, that was his livelihood. I believe throwing it aside meant trust. He was leaving behind his old life. See what faith does? Faith lets go of what is familiar to reach for Christ. And then Jesus asked him, man, imagine, we're not told whether he was born blind or he became blind at some other time. But we know he's a man who was desperate. Now Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And it's not because Jesus does not know. Jesus is God. He's all-knowing. But he wants Bartimaeus to express his faith. And he says, Rabbon. It's not just rabbi as we see it in our English versions. This is Rabbon. This is actually a statement of faith. He's saying, my Lord. He's not saying teacher. My Lord. That is what Bartimaeus is actually professing right here. And what does he ask? Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus responds. See the results? Says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, he receives his sight and follows Jesus on the road. You never encounter Jesus and they remain the same. If you come to Jesus, your life is the same. You are not a Christian. An encounter of Jesus begins the first step, and that is what we call discipleship. We are told now, what is he doing? And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Where is Jesus going? He is going to Jerusalem. Who is part of the entourage? It is Bartimaeus. You have never seen, I expect him. He wants to go and see his family. He's never seen them. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He acknowledges Jesus is Lord. That's huge. See, many today want blessings from Jesus, but not his lordship. But when mercy finds you, it changes your direction. You can no longer live for the fleeting pleasures of this world. You live for something greater than you. Bartimaeus, I believe he picked that up. Knowing where awaits Jesus Christ, but he knew who Jesus Christ is. He's no longer by the roadside. He has now risen. He's following Jesus Christ. Friends, Bartimaeus' story is your story. It's my story. If you're in Christ, you were once blind. But as we sang that song, Amazing Grace, Christ passed on your way. He heard a cry for mercy. He opened your eyes to see his glory. The same Jesus who stopped for Bartimaeus is still stopping for sinners today. So if you're here, you have not yet come to Christ, I plead with you, come to him today while he may be found. Because he came as a son of man. But when he comes again, second time, he's coming to judge. So what do we do with a passage like this? First, if you're going to come to Jesus, like Bartimaeus, you have to recognize that you're truly spiritually blind, helpless, and hopeless. You know what is worse than physical blindness? It is spiritual blindness. With spiritual blindness that many people think they see, but they don't see. Ask yourself if you see. If you see, question is, what are you doing for Jesus? What difference is he making in your life? If you are saying, have mercy on me, and has shown you mercy, then the rest of your life, you actually pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ. Because you know, when you came to Christ, or rather when his mercy came to you, you had nothing to offer to him. Nothing. Do you know that? So people like Bartimaeus, these are people, I would liken Bartimaeus like Apostle Paul. These are people that had this consciousness that they believed that they were not worthy of the mercy and the grace of God. So much so that once his grace appears to them, there is an 180 degree turn. But if you are as you have always been, chances are that this mercy has not reached you. So, second, I encourage you to place your complete trust and confidence in Jesus alone. Just like we see here with Bartimaeus. He had a strong confidence in Jesus. Even when they kept on telling him to be silent, although he was rebuked, he had confidence in Jesus. Now I ask you, is that your confidence? Third, expect opposition to seeking Jesus. If you truly seek Jesus Christ, I can tell you this, your life gets complicated. Because not everybody wants to live and make much of Jesus Christ. They may call you names. They may misunderstand you. They'll question your motives. They'll question what you do, why you do them. You see him, he was getting that from the crowd. Ufuna mchuke? You get it from friends. You get it from well-meaning Christians who tell you, oh, listen, you're already a Christian. Take it easy. Take it easy. So, expect opposition. Next. And I love this one. See, Jesus welcomes all who truly come to him, even if others don't think he will. If they don't think he will care. This is an amazing thing. Think about this. The blind beggar likely became one of the eyewitnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection following the resurrection. He is probably one of the 120. He probably became part of the Jerusalem church. He was there. He saw the crucifixion. He saw the resurrection. And he kept on following Jesus on the road, glorifying God for his salvation. In fact, in this parallel passage, in the Gospel of Luke, we are told what happened to Bartimaeus led many people to glorifying God. Truly following Christ, when the mercy of God has reached you, people will notice it. People will begin to glorify God because you are a recipient of his mercy. Now ask, would you say that best describes you? That people are glorifying God because as they see your life being transformed, being changed, being shaped because of the mercy
You did not deserve, but you have received. May the story of Bartimaeus remind us. It's not about us, Kala Okagamila, but it's about the mercy of God through his son, Jesus Christ. When this mercy reaches you, your life can no longer be the same. You follow Christ. The patterns of the old life, they are actually, like the song says, though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Mercy. 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 Let's pray.
Oh Lord, it's easy for us to think we can see when we may be blind. How I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here who is still blind spiritually to who Jesus is, may it please you, Lord, to awaken them. May you open the eyes of their faith. They'll be able to see their need. I pray for those that may be physically comfortable. Perhaps they don't see the need for this mercy. How I pray they'll realize that their greatest need, Lord, is not physical, but it is spiritual. And I pray for those that have already crossed the line of faith, they put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, may they be reminded that this is not an easy path, but it is a path that leads to ultimate joy, ultimate satisfaction. Although, Lord, it's not easy, but we are promised that you'll be with us along the way. So I pray that you help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.